Let's give God another hand clap of praise. Somebody, when you talk about the goodness of the Lord, everybody ought to get excited. Not just the choir ought to get excited. Not just a musician ought to get excited. But the word of the Lord said everybody should give praise to his holy and divine name. Truly thankful to be with you today. Thank Pastor Mitchell for inviting me up. We began to talk with one another quite a bit. I came to visit my friend, Brother Tyler, a while back, and next thing I know, it was almost 5 o'clock when I got home. My wife says, "How long did that church last?" I says, "I stayed in the back with the pastor for almost 3 hours. And then he ended up coming by my house, and we talk on the phone from time to time, so I'm glad to be here with you. There is a word from the Lord. It's going to be quite brief. You won't be standing long. Turn to chapter 11, verse 35. Oh, John 11, chapter 35, verse 35. It's the simplest verse in the Bible. Most of you know it by heart. If there's one you should know, it should be this one. If you got to look for it, you're in bad shape already. Jesus wept. You can be seated. That's it, folks. Jesus wept. Most gracious and everlasting Father, thou art God, we thank you for this opportunity to come to preaching time. We ask that the anointing of thy Holy Spirit will penetrate through the hearts and minds of these people that are sitting under the sound of my voice, that they will come running saying, "What must I do to be saved?" In the marvelous name of your darling son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. The subject today is it. That's all I got, it. Many people in the church are held in bondage because of it. It has been around for a long time. It has held people back from their glory and from them being able to fulfill the things that God has put in their lives. It is probably one of the worst things that a person can be held in bondage by. It can be anything it wants to be. It can be anything and anywhere it wants to be. But it does not have to control your life. In 1990, Stephen King created this movie called It. It was a psychological horror that interdenominational horror that would penetrate into the minds of people. It would transform into a clown. It was just one of those things that penetrated into something called the Losers Club. Most folks ought to know that the enemy always wants you to think that you're a loser. Once he has you on the ropes and begins to punch you around, you lose all of your self-esteem and you think that you are nothing more than a loser. Can meet you sometimes even in the church house. It sometimes meets you when you come through the door as a greeter. It sometimes will even meet you when you're sitting in the pulpit getting ready to deliver a message from the Lord. It sometimes sings in the choir and sometimes in the congregation. It makes more noise than the folks that truly know who God is. It was one of those things that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to have to go up on Golgotha's hill. It was the thing that caused folks to lock Paul and Silas up. But while they were locked up, it was also that thing that God put in them that transformed them, that loosed the chains on their hands, and they were able to still shout out to the God. It was that thing that tried to stop the children of Israel from being set free. It caused Pharaoh to go against what he had said that he was going to do to try to stop the people from crossing the Red Sea. You need to understand that it was the thing that caused the three Hebrew boys to have to go into the fiery furnace. It was the thing that had to stop Daniel from being eaten by the lions in the lion's den. See, it can't hold you back unless you let it take a hold of you. You have to change it into what God has for you. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, you have it. And it that is within you is greater than he that is on the outside. And as long as you can trust in that. Take my time here. Let's go back to what the text is talking about. This is one of the last miracles that Jesus performed before they were ready to really begin to put him to death. Here he was traveling with his disciples, talking to people and trying to deliver them from bondage, trying to deliver them from it. And while he was out, his friend Lazarus had taken ill. And so they sent word to him. They said, he's sick. But Jesus already knew what was going on. See, one of the things you have to realize is that God is not going to change his plan for you. Whatever your little problem is, he already know about it. But you've got to have faith to believe that everything is going to be all right. And so it was that he hung out for a couple more days. And when he began to talk to his disciples, he said that they were sick. But he said he is sick unto death. See, he knew that Lazarus was going to die. But he had to allow him to die in order to show that he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sometimes you have to realize that God will have to put you through something in order for you to see that he is the King. Sometimes you have to realize that your problems are there for people to be able to be delivered that are around you. So it was that he began to think about what he was to do. So once he arrived, Martha came running and saying, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But there is a difference in what Martha said and in what Mary said. They both said the same thing. But Martha said, but I know that if you are God, that everything is going to be all right. But Mary said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She didn't add the other part. So when he went over and said to remove the stone from the wall, but it's stinking on the inside. See, we always got an excuse. Aren't you sick and tired of people and their excuses when it comes to what God can do? I get tired of when they see miracle after miracle, when they hear word after word, and they see you suffering and God delivering you, they walk around with their excuses why you should not believe in God. Pastor can stand up and tell you that he's got a word from the Lord. He can tell you that he's got a vision from God that we should do something different than what we've always been doing. But because you are so stuck in the past, and because you think that everything's got to be in formality, you miss out on what God has for you. It's sad when folks are dictated by programs instead of the Holy Spirit. If you mess around and you do the scripture before you do the prayer, folks want to throw you out of the church. Sometimes it just makes me angry when I think about it. I love God. God has delivered me through too much stuff for me to put up with your mess when I come into the house of the Lord. Sometimes even preachers aren't exempt from the wrath of God. They get away with it for a little while, but if they're not genuine, God will show them who he is also. The only God that you all may ever see is on Sunday morning. So why should I air out my laundry about what I want instead of what God wants? And so we began to think about when he said, loose him and let him go free. That's you. You've been held up, wrapped up in bondage for so long until you don't know when freedom has come your way. See, think about us in slavery years ago, in chains, in bondage, but folks still find a way on Sunday to give thanks to God in the midst of knowing what they had to do on Monday morning. In midst of the stripes that he had to be beat with, they still found a way to praise God. And yet, here we are free on this day, and we can't stand and give God a hand clap of praise. I don't understand what's going on with the world today. It is the resurrection of life. Even in death, even though you are dead on the inside, walking around, breathing the air that God allowed you to breathe, you still need to find a way to come alive. You can't look for me to save you, because I can't save nobody. I can just give you the word of God. I tell folks all the time, I says, everybody in the church, a lot of them love to put on fronts. They only saved on Sunday morning. They only picked their Bible up on Saturday night. They'll frown at you if you run into them at the grocery store after you leave church. It's a sad situation that we live in today. We, as a people, need to do more than just show up in church on Sunday morning. I'm also weary of the person that you can't walk down the street except for seeing them with a Bible in their hand and they want to tell you about the goodness of God. You shouldn't have to carry anything but the word within you for people to know who you are. I don't have to say anything to folks, but they know something is different. I go to estate sales all the time, and people want to know what makes it so different that everybody wants to talk to me. It's nothing about me. Favor just ain't fair. When you've lost everything you have, and every time God keeps multiplying it back to you, See, when you go down one road and you think that that's where God wants you to go, you better learn real quick that you got to change your plan when the Holy Spirit talks to you. See, sometimes the enemy will fool you. He'll have you thinking that he's got a gift for you. You know, if when Christ was in the desert fasting and the enemy came to him, that he says, if you do this, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Well, he already had it. There's nothing that the enemy can give you that you don't already have. You just don't know you've got it. You haven't spent enough time with God. The more time you spend with God, the better your life will be. Now, get this. I didn't say that there wouldn't be any trouble. See, if the Lord don't bring trouble your way, you'll forget what he's done for you. See, just because you're driving a new car today don't mean that you can drive it tomorrow. You didn't create anything on your own. Everything that you have is a gift from God. See, when the people try to come together to think about how they're going to destroy and kill Jesus Christ for simply being Jesus Christ, what makes you think that you're exempt from anything, any pain, any strife, when God himself had to suffer? When you think about the rabbis and all those folks that were in power coming up with their scheme, we've got to stop this man, because if we don't stop him, they're going to believe in him. Then they're going to come and take our place. They're going to take our city because they believe in him. But it wasn't just him. It was him that sent him. See, they were consumed by it. See, it had already infiltrated their mind. It had them thinking that they were more than what they really were. Just because you preach on Sunday don't make you above God. Just because God allowed you to have 10,000 members don't mean that you are above God. God can take a little and transform a whole lot. So I don't mind shouting in a church with just a few folks. Because if there's just a few folks and they trust and believe in God, then the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will transform their minds. And then they can reach others. See, Jesus wasn't worried about their plots to destroy him. You can't worry about what the things that people will do on your job on Monday morning. You can't worry when the doctor tells you that there is no chance that your lights are going to be turned out in 6 months. That's all the time you have on this earth. You can't worry, folks. You've got to trust and you've got to believe. There are so many times that it looked like it was the end for me. See, I've been through a lot. I tell folks all the time, I've lost more than most people will ever gain in a lifetime. But it don't stop there. See, if you lose something, if you fall down, you better know how to get up. Nothing that can happen to you, nothing that God can't handle. No matter what folks say about you, you just don't let it be true. When folks talk about you and scandalize your name, just trust in God anyhow. When you feel as though you're no ways tired, come on, come on. You got to trust in God anyhow. Sometimes in the midnight hour, when you're laying in your bed and your children are driving you crazy and turning your hair gray, you've got to know that you've given them the best that you can give them. Trust God to take care of the rest. Just a little testimony as I close about who I am. See, it tried to get me too. It started with me when I was in college. But really, it probably started early in my life, but I wasn't mature in the Word of God enough to know who it was. But once my grandmother started to tell me about it, I read to realize that it didn't have control over my situation. See, when I was in college, I got in the middle of thinking that I had something that I really didn't. The Lord allowed me to hang with the big boys. I graduated high school and went to college chasing behind my wife. Now, I had no intention of going to Benedict College, but she was at the University of South Carolina. And because I had been so hard-headed in school, I couldn't imagine even thinking about filling out an application for the University of South Carolina. But while I was there, I had received the national championship in public speaking. So that allowed me to really, because I had scholarship money, I could go anywhere. HBCUs love a big scholarship. I was working in the Senate with Senator Ed Salibi in South Carolina. He introduced me to Dick Riley, the governor of South Carolina. And then he introduced me to Strom Thurmond, U.S. Senator from South Carolina, known to be probably the most racist man in the history of the civil rights movement. But that didn't bother me. I was after something greater than that. My goal was to be an anchor man to tell the news on TV. That's what I wanted to do. But God said, you will tell the news, but it won't be on TV. So then comes it. Secretary in my Sunday school, working in the church, but I'm hanging with these powerful politicians. I ain't got time to go to church. Don't you know that when you're not in the house of the Lord, it will come in and get you? So I had roamed the halls. They gave me a condominium to stay in. They gave me a BMW to drive. I'm going home back to the peach field that I came from. And while I'm down at the peach field, I think I'm somebody. But let me tell you something. Material things ain't gonna save you. Don't matter who you hang with, they can't get you through the promised land. So even that didn't fulfill me. Isn't it amazing that you think that material things can fulfill you? Money, cars, connections, they mean nothing. And so how is it that it got me so depressed that I was sitting in the living room of the condominium that they had for me, and I was planning my plot to commit suicide? I had mixed my little concoction together, and I didn't want to live anymore. See, I didn't know who my father was, and All my friends had daddies that were doing things for them, and I didn't have anybody to help me. I had got myself mixed up in a bunch of mess trying to look like I was as rich as the young kids that were senators' sons and daughters. And pretty soon, all the money was gone. So I went to the telephone to call my grandmother to tell her basically goodbye. And I rang the phone over and over again, but she never answered. She always is home in the morning. And I kept ringing the phone, and she never answered. My grandmother had never been to my apartment. I don't even know how she got the address. But I went over and sat down on the sofa. And while I was sitting there on the sofa getting ready to drink my concoction to end my life, I heard banging on the door. I don't know who this could possibly be. So I sat there. I said, if I be quiet, they'll go away. And so I got up and put my stuff up under the kitchen sink, and I peeked around at the door, and I couldn't see anybody. So I opened the door, and there was my grandmother and my two uncles. I have no idea how they got there. So they came in, and really they changed and saved my life. My grandmother says, you on this day are going to learn to be a man. There's no problem that you have that God can't fix. So I dealt with the problem. And as the day went by, the Lord came to me and said, it's time for you to make a change. So the next day, I go downtown. And I pass by the recruiter's office. And I went into the Army recruiter's office, and I enlisted into the Army. I did everything. I enlisted the Army in. So I had to go back the next day. When I came back the next day, I saw two Marines walking down the sidewalk with their dress blues on. And they said, we just came back from a funeral. I says, man, I love that uniform. But y'all crazy. I can't do that. I'm not tough enough. I weighed 127 pounds, just a little weakling. But anyway, I switched that plan and went into the Marine Corps, made the Army mad. But let me tell you, the decision that I made on that day made it possible for me to be where I am today. But that's not where the story ends, folks. The goodness of God can transform your life. I went, did what I had to do, fought the good fight, but it didn't mean that everything was good. It didn't matter how bad things got for me. I made up my mind that I was still gonna follow God. So when I fell down on my knees every night in Paris Island, I said, Lord, if you just let me see another day. And when I graduated, I said, Lord, if you let me see just another day, I'll never let it consume me ever again. So I stopped by Lynchburg, Virginia today to tell you that your it has got to let you go. You've got to trust God and get up and let him know that you are going to live for him and that you will die for him. See, if it has you today, it can kill you. But if you trust in God and let the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of him, he can change your life. You don't have to fall for it. When a man comes to you, ladies, you can tell him that if he don't have something on the inside besides it, he's got to go. If he's going to sit at home and you go to work, he's full of it. And you need to let him go.
if you come home late at night and it is sitting in your living room and you've been working all day, then it has to go. Too many times you allow it into your life because it looks good. It has enough tattoos. It has a baggy pants. It has more than you think you have. But the real it is Jesus Christ. You keep falling for it and wondering why your life is still a mess. Your life is a mess because you never confess your sins to Jesus Christ. It's time to make a change, folks. It's time for folks to stop playing church. Nothing makes me sicker than folks playing church. I tell folks all the time, you can only pretend for so long. The real you is bound to come out. So some Sunday I might come in and you're grinning in my face. But one Sunday, the real you is going to say, I can't stand you and you don't like me. But God that is within me will allow me to keep saying, for God I live and for God I'll die. It is not going to control my life. No matter what you're going through, you've got to trust in God. It. You go through, if you don't remember nothing else, remember it. Learn to identify it. Learn to trust in God. A psychological horror. A loser's club. Even the movie is a lie. But there is always, my grandmother always told me, there's some truth to every lie. Notice that the clown wanted to infiltrate the loser's club. That's the weakest link. When you think you're a loser, you have no hope. You'll fall for anything. But when you believe you are somebody, and that you belong to somebody, you have hope. You have the ability to stand. The devil loves that person that they can manipulate. And he also loves that person that thinks that they are so holy that nothing can happen to them. Don't fool yourself. You need to learn how to reverse those generational curses that have been plaguing your families for years. You can change it. I had to make a conscious decision that I was not going to be that man that abandoned his family. You have to make up your mind. I've been married for 27 years. Next month. Three children, senior in high school, and wanting to be out there thinking I was the Mac Daddy, created a son, senior in high school. But I made a conscious decision that I was going to take care of my child. And I fought and fought until I got custody to make a difference. I'll say this to you ladies. I don't know you, you don't know me. But it's extremely important, folks, that in this life we stop holding secrets. If you don't like the man, that's fine. Whatever happened, it happened. But do not hold the child victim and hold the child hostage because of it. Whatever it is, let it go. I had to fight to raise my son. Most women have to beg and plead for a man to show up. Everybody's not going to be good, but man can only be as good as he knows. If he's never been taught to be a man, he can't just wake up one day and be one. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm just saying this is so important. And women, realize that you are that new car in the showroom. Every man marvels at the new car in the showroom. He comes in and he wants that car with all the options. The woman that's got the great education, comes from the good family, and can bear his children. That's what he wants. But the wrong man will turn you into a hoopty. The car with a whole lot of miles on it that everybody done drove and nobody want to take home to mama. The more miles you let a man put on your car, the more depreciated you become. Until you decide that you ain't gonna fall for the same game, you're gonna become victim. He's full of it. And you need to be able to tell him so. Don't let anybody burn the gas out of your car just because they got a strong foot. Don't let anybody walk on you. Nobody should be able to get in your car that God has created for goodness. And they'll take you around the racetrack and talk about you and depreciate you. But no matter how man depreciates you, God can transform and change your life every single time. You trust and believe in it. Don't wait till it's too late. Come to God now and ask him what and who should he send for you. Don't become impatient. I knew who my wife was before I even spoke to her. I knew that everybody wanted to drive the car. But I was the guy that was sitting on the front row of the club with the cheap polyester suit and nothing more than a dollar in my pocket and hoping she didn't want nothing to drink. But on that night, I told my sister, I said, "Who's that girl right there on the dance floor, coming off the dance floor?" She said, "That's Cheryl Benton. You can forget about it. She ain't going to talk to you. You ain't." I said, "Go tell that girl to come here. That's going to be my wife. And that's who I married." That was it. I didn't know anything about her. But my sister says, "You can forget it. The worst thing you can tell me is I can forget it." But that just goes to show that patience has its virtue. Patience. Not only on my part, on her part. She didn't wait. It was a long time we dated through college. Her daddy didn't play no games with me. But as we come to an end now, I thank you. Thank Pastor Mitchell. I pray for his safe return here. And thank you for your hospitality. Let us all stand. If there is someone in this church on this day that has been consumed by it, you've been fighting it for a long time. You really don't know what it is that God would have for you to do. You haven't accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. This is your opportunity to come. As the doors of the church are open, we stand not in judgment of people and their circumstances and their past, but we stand, should be anyway, to receive folks and to watch the transformation of their lives, because that's what we come to church for, not for formality, because that's what you've always done, but you should want to see something miraculous happen every Sunday. Every Sunday you should come and If you leave mad, that means that the pastor has done something right. You should go home and you should feel like that hit me so hard that I need to change. I don't know any of you or situations, but if you think about it when you go home, then it's not me, it's you. See, sometimes the problem is not the people that are around you, it's you. And if you change the people that you're around, then you might find that it has gone away. So as the choir sings, this is your opportunity to come. Trust in God and know that He can deliver you. God bless you.
There is none who has decided to give their life to Christ. I just want you to remember that the preacher told us, and the bottom line is, it is full of it. We don't have a tomorrow. We just have right now. We don't even know what's going to happen in our lives the next hour. So the plea, the preacher poured out his heart and he explained it. And now we are all without excuse. So if you know you are in here, you haven't given your life to Christ, please don't leave the same way you came in. And then if there are those that, because of it, you now realize that you need to be restored. You want to come back into the full graces of God because you realized you allowed it to dominate some areas of your life. You know, we can sit here and we can act like everything is all right, but the truth of the matter is all of us got an it that we're dealing with. And if we don't confess it, as the preacher told us, it will consume you. So if there's one that's willing to stand bold and say, God, I'm that person that allowed it to put you on the back burner. But now I'm putting you back on the front burner. If there's someone that's willing to admit, God, I can't get rid of it by myself. That's why it has consumed me so long. I need your help. If you're willing to ask for God's help with your it, won't you come forward? It, you don't have to read the book by Stephen King and you don't have to see the movie. It is sin. And Jesus wept because he knew he was going to go to the cross for the sins of mankind. But he didn't weep because he was going to go to the cross. He wept because he knew that every heart would not accept him. Every heart would not give him it. He said, I got an easy way for you. He said, you take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the only reason you still struggle with it, or the only reason that it is so powerful in your life, as I said in Christian Academy this morning, is because you choose to allow it. But God said, I took away all of your excuses because I got my word placed in your heart. So is there another that's willing to make the choice today to give it to God? Stacy, can you sing soft while I minister, please? I surrender all to you, Lord God. Everything.
surrender all. I surrender all to everything I give to you.
Can you say it? Truth, withholding nothing?
Withholding nothing.
God, I'm withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Are you really withholding nothing? I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Everything. That unconfessed sin, God, I'm giving it to you right now. That unforgiveness, I'm giving it to you right now. Those skeletons in my closet that don't nobody know that's there, but you, God, I'm giving them to you. I'm giving you all my it. So when I walk out the door, God, I can be free. We said in Christian Academy, whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Let us pray. God, we just thank you for the preacher. We thank you for the word. Because, God, we are tired of it. We're tired of it in our home. We're tired of it on the job. We're tired of it when we're by ourselves. We're tired of it in our family. We're tired of it in this house. We are just tired of it. So we come right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and we give you it. We give you it. It will no longer consume us. Sin is its name. So we confess our sin before you right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we repent, asking for your forgiveness, asking for your grace, asking for your mercy. We plead the blood of Jesus over it. God, we ask your blessings over this house, over every disciple in this house. We ask, Lord God, if you would answer Sister Ada and Sister Darlene's prayers, Lord God. And God, I know that there are others. I felt it in my spirit. So, Lord God, for that man, for that woman, for that boy, that girl that didn't come forward, meet them in the place where it is destroying them, that it has no more power over their lives. Because you said, Lord God, in your word, that we're free. We are in Christ Jesus. We are one in the body of Christ. So help us to live a oneness, Lord God, with you, Lord God. All things are possible to those that believe, Lord God. And we believe. We ask, Lord God, if you would continue, Lord God, to cover Pastor and feed him with fresh anointing in his absence away from us. Bring he and his wife safely back into our dwelling, Lord God. This house of worship where you have given him his assignment as pastor. We ask, Lord God, for our preacher of the morning, Lord God, Pastor Alden, if you would give him safe traveling mercy back to his home without accident or incident. Bless this congregation, Lord God. Please, Lord, look favorably upon the hearts, the minds of each individual. Bless according to your word by your will. Because, God, you are merciful, God. You're kind, God. You say you reign on the just as well as the unjust. And not only in this house, Lord God, but we need you in our nation. We need you. You're needed in other nations as well. God, I'm asking today, right now, if you would just bless as only you can. Bless, God, that your name be glorified, that your name be magnified, that your name be lifted, that your name be praised, that your name be worshiped, that your name be exalted, that your name be lifted, Lord God. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And now the blessing. May the grace of our Lord, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now and forever. And the congregation said, amen. Go in peace.